line. Welcome to the call. And it's a good evening, Rock. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Steven Fleischer.
Hey, Steve. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, guys?
Yes, we're in. We hear you.
Marilyn.
Yeah, you're loud and clear, Wynn.
Thanks.
Wynn, welcome to the call, Marilyn.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Two Marilyns, yes.
Another Marilyn joined us.
The second one was known as Marilyn K. And
Gary from Utah.
Hey, Gary.
Good evening. Welcome to the call, Gary.
Thank you.
Is it Lisa? Delisa?
It's Terry there. Hello? Terry? Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely chandler.
Hey, Wynn.
Yes.
We just heard good news from Gary Brownlee. He is doing treatment and it's having a good effect on his cancer.
What was having a positive effect?
For Gary Brownlee, he's doing it. Gary, can you step up?
Yeah, I got some results of the test they did about 3 months ago, and it's having a positive effect.
Did they do anything, or is it just some unexpected shift?
But they did something. They put in beads.
Oh, good.
Hi there. This is Ray from Nevada.
Hey, Ray. Welcome to the call.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for being here.
No problem.
You know, Gary, they always do something. So just in case you have a divine intervention, they can take credit.
Okay.
All right. Let me go find Terry.
All right, and I welcome those who just joined in, and if you have not done so yet, then feel free to say your name and location.
Hi, this is Donna from Kingman.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Edna.
Guten Abend, Edna. Wir gehen.
Guten Abend. Geht's ganz gut, danke.
All right.
Our first question of the evening is, where is Terry?
Isn't her work voluntary?
Well, thank you for bringing that up.
we can just make it up that she's narcoleptic.
Well, you know what? My work is voluntary, too, so I'll see you guys later. Lisa, you can run the call tonight. Hi, Lisa. I got just a moment.
I see the osmosis.
All right. So, and again, if there are still people who have not announced themselves, feel free to do so. A nice group of people. If we have those on BBS listening in, thank you so much for being with us. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry.
Terry, welcome to the call. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Although you used the wrong...
I know, okay. 5? Okay.
Hope to see you back here soon.
Okay.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
DC from Burbank.
Hello, Steve. Thanks for joining us. Alright, and I think more people had joined here, still here in the last minute. If you want to do so, you name a location. Welcome back, Edna.
Thank you, thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem. Alright, let's see, what do we have in tonight's announcement email? Oh, and the crowd will accept you, be arranged, and they will make you their leader. All right. We had another person join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, I'm back.
Okay, Terry. Great.
Okay.
How are you, Terry?
I'm good, thank you.
We covered for you.
Okay.
Okay. It's Terry here.
Yes.
You sound very clear today. Are you using the Panasonic microphone?
Muted.
I'm using the one with a patch.
Port. Right. Okay, that's Panasonic.
The lines are muted, Win. I'll do the story.
Well, you see this? Heiss is taking away my free will again. He's insisting we start now.
Ready or not?
Ready
this
or not.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, everybody. This is Wednesday, March 6, 2013. And my name is Win Free, and this is our Wednesday night call where we talk to our sources in other dimensions and ask them questions which you have submitted. And tonight, the person who is the vehicle for bringing through the messages is Terry Brown. And are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
How come you're not muted?
I decided not to mute because you were going to call on me.
All right. Now, you know, I get emails from people. Can I talk about this, Terry?
Okay.
Honestly to people?
Sure.
You're sure? You weren't quite sure at first. I get emails from people thinking that when I kind of, Terry and I kid around at the beginning of the calls, that I keep saying she should go to Unmute University because she always gets confused about where the mute button is. Now, do you want to say anything about that, Terry?
Yeah, well, what happens sometimes is I look at the phone and I'm halfway in trance, and there's always these buttons and everything on the phone, and I'm supposed to press the unmute button, and somehow on the way to it, I accidentally touch something else, and it's so sensitive that all of a sudden the screens change, and there's no option to unmute, and well, how did that happen? And then I have to wait for it to go through this whole thing. Sometimes it can be messages like, you've reached a number, if somehow I've dialed something else. Or anyway, it's a matter of staying in focus, I think.
Well, you know what? I think we just need to make enough money so we can pay someone to stand by your side as like a producer, and that you never have to touch the button at the right moment. All they're there to do is say unmute, mute, unmute.
No.
I think that's a good idea.
No. No.
Well, in any case, when we do this at the beginning, I don't mean any disrespect at all for Terry. In fact, probably we can't give Terry enough respect for the way she's pulled this through. But when it happens, almost every time, I was caught in the dilemma of how do I deal with this publicly, because Terry is unmuted again, or muted, and I'm calling on her. So it kind of became a joke, okay? So I hope when we do, now that we're talking about it, maybe it will never happen again. I mean, what do you think of that, okay?
But, sometimes you catch it too. You end up muted.
I end up muted?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
so then I joke and say that you need a refresher course on university.
But I'm not muted nearly as much as you, am I?
No.
I mean, if your mother was around, she'd really be punishing you for being muted so much.
Mm. Yeah, my mother, that's another story.
we'll talk about Terry's mother next week. Well, everyone has mothers, so. As you can see, I am a little sleepy today. So, we are just being slightly silly. But, you know, the most important thing on these calls is to get a group energy going. And I find that I have to be how I am because then it just moves to the next place. And I think this is a tip for lots and lots of people that there's an aspect of a human that wants to be seen in a certain way, wants to be respected, wants people to look at us and look up to us. And the problem is, the energy does not always match that desire. So you can kind of act as if everything is okay. And sometimes that works. The energy comes in. And it seems like I just move into how I am. And as long as if I move 100%, it moves into the next place. Whereas if I was saying, geez, I hope no one notices I'm a little tired today, I better try to act like I'm really up there and everything, you know, it would be like I get stuck. I'd have to keep doing that. It's like keeping the act up. So maybe that might work for some of you, learning how to be who you are. You have to do it 100%, though, because if you don't, the energy may get stuck, or people might judge you. But if you truly be who you are, usually everything shifts. As soon as you acknowledge it, you move to the next place. And so we have questions you guys have submitted tonight, and we're going to call in the light. Is there anything I wanted to say as an announcement? There was, and I didn't write it down. So thank you all who attended the Win Carla workshop on Saturday. And Carla is delighted with how those are working. So everything going in the right direction. We should be having one of those every month. And it gets deeper. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we will check, see if our sources have coming in, and address want to address us through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. We are here with you on this day in March 2013. We take a moment and we place ourselves or connect with the energies. We take a look and see the energies of the individuals who are on the call, the energies of the individuals who are listening on VBS, those of you that wish to be connected with. And it is non-linearly that we connect. We do not connect through the telephone lines. We do not connect through the BBS computer. That's where the voice comes from, but we see your energies directly and connect with those that wish to be connected with directly. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. This is from Carolyn in Alaska. Is the veil and the quarantine the same thing? Can you expand about the veil? What is the veil? Why is there a veil?
Thank you. The veil and the quarantine are not the same thing. The veil is the effect of the manifest adjunct we search for the words, the body systems which have come through the genetic line, which are not the same as the soul. They are not the same as the astral. They are not the same as the mind. And they have their effect. When an individual is born, there's also the effect of the stars. There are various effects in the physical universe when an individual is born. When an individual grows, there is consensus reality. This brings energies to bear upon the individual. There are families that the individual grows up in, and this brings energy of the nature of the family to the individual as the individual grows up. These will make a veil. These all have a frequency. These all have an effect upon the individual. And the individual then is focused upon these things, such as the family, the consensus reality, what is going on in the media. These energies, the energies of the location where the individual is raised, and this has an effect upon the individual, him or herself. And because the individual is focused upon these things, they act as a veil to being focused upon home, where the individual came from, the individual's past lives. So the individual, it is a focusing matter that the individual, in his or her own free will, places themselves within the veil of their surroundings. And the surroundings and all of the energies connected with the surroundings, all of the body systems, the food the person eats, the genetics of the person, this all feeds in data to the individual. And the individual focuses within this framework, and as such, is focused upon manifestations that bring him what could be called within the veil. Quarantine is different in that there is a quarantine on the planet as space travel used to be accomplished to come to the planet. There is a connection in the galaxy and galaxies beyond of space travel, of spaceships, of UFOs, wherein individuals could have a trip, could plan a vacation, going from planet to planet, to vacation on different planets, could visit different planets. However, Earth, being on the edge of the Milky Way galaxy and being of a warlike nature, of a place where it is not as peaceful as some other areas, has gotten a quarantine upon it. This is what we see as the quarantine. We hope that helps to answer some of your questions.
Is the veil something that the Earth has decided on, that one of the sub-logos has decided on in terms of the evolution of our planet? Or is the veil a product of something else?
It is a product of the logos. We see that the process of a decision incorporates how the evolution of the planets in the logos went, so that the individuals who are living in the logos do follow the laws that they have been set up. It is something that is based upon where the laws of the galaxy, of the sun, and is set up based upon the frequency of the light coming from the sun, the matter that is within the solar system, the matter that in other stars that is affecting the solar system, have all been part of the development and part of the minerals, the substances that have precipitated into the Earth plane. And these all affect the individual and the veil, the minerals that the person eats goes into the body. And these minerals then set a frequency within which the body operates. These are all things that were built and would not, in a way, be said to have been set down and totally worked out. It happens at such a great speed that when you say decided is a much slower process. We could say perhaps evolved, it is intelligently made and induced, but according to mathematical formulas that go together in a higher dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And so decided seems like a much lower level word than we could rather say created.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have an intuition about the veil, and some people would like to remember everything. But I have this feeling that if the goal of a being in this realm is to expand into higher dimensions, and they go through a series of lifetimes, that if they remembered everything, that could be a detrimental to that process, because they see somebody and they say, oh, that's the person that killed me. Or they see someone else and they say, that's the person that I had this great affair with. And it takes out the, how would I say it? For example, if somebody that killed you, maybe you also had a great affair with them or a great relationship with them. And you remember everything. And you couldn't move in to the experience and clear it because you kept looking at them and holding them into the past pattern. Is that any accuracy to that perception?
Thank you. Everything is created in the now, so that the person, as they move through their traumatic experiences, they develop means of handling situations. They develop a personality. And this personality tends to move from lifetime to lifetime with various changes brought about by the things that are triggered in their lifetime. There's a track laid down in the individual's nervous system in that their responses set up certain nerve endings being triggered, certain pathways in brain, so that if someone really wants to heal from their past life experiences and establish a new way of acting or feeling, they need to lay down new track, new pathways, and not merely build the same old pathways that have been comfortable to them in the past. If they're going to move through karma and old reenacting it, they need to build new pathways of response. this can be quite a creative venture, so that if someone finds themselves operating in an uncomfortable manner, they could move into getting companionship, a friend that delights them, that is funny, that they could go watch movies that delight them and give them a good experience to help them lay in new pathways. Does that shed any light on it?
Yes, thank you. This is from Ray Wheeler in, I believe, Henderson, Nevada. Is there a way to let go of the conditioned responses we have been taught since childhood about relationships, the roles we have defined, the rules we must follow, the attitudes we adopted? Ray believes this would really help with the opening of the heart and the required amount of 51% to ascend or graduate.
Thank you. One can examine their responses. One can examine the stimulus. One can examine the triggers. And then they can get further data about how they react. Very often when a child is growing up, the parents will set the surroundings, set the scene for how they believe things really are, how they believe people look at them, how they believe people respond to them. And then when they grow up, even though that might not be true and people do not respond to them in that way on that particular subject, they still assume that people are responding in that way. So it makes it very difficult for an individual to shake the old patterns, much like an elephant that is chained. As the elephant is growing up, after the elephant reaches a certain age and you take away the chain, the elephant will still think that it is chained and will not move out of that certain range. So the individual, as they grow up, can take a look at responses of people and say, is this, and what part of this am I putting there based upon my childhood? What part of this am I imagining that I'm, some things that some one might imagine is that I am not as worthy as somebody else, or that somebody else has prettier legs and therefore they must be looked down on, or somebody else is more witty and outgoing and with social graces, and therefore they may not, they may be looked down on or looked down on themselves. So the individual tends to repeat patterns that the parents have laid in. And a good examination of this will help the individual to see what is really going on. Are these imagined responses, how other people thinking certain things about them, is that something that was laid in and that's not true at all? For instance, if you meet a new person, that new person doesn't know much about you, and they may really put you up in their ideals. They may think very highly of you. But if you had been trained in growing up that there's certain things that aren't worthwhile about you, then you may envision the other person being critical of you for those things. So a good look at observation can help you, and then help you, as we had, were speaking earlier in the last question, of building new pathways so that your brain will begin to relax and to see the camaraderie that is available to you. Those are examples. We do not necessarily pin them on you, but we speak in general. And for you to take a look at your own patterns and your own conditioning and see areas that you would like to change and improve.
Thank you. Rosalie says she's seeing the numbers 1111 a lot, like other people. We've asked this before, and this is one of those things that I myself contemplated on. And I have recognized and kind of grown to live with the fact that we are always expanded into other dimensions to some extent and to a lesser or greater degree. And one is the first number, which is the creative urge, the beginning. And if you're expanded and you're tapping into the first impulse, which is creation, then that relates to having those moments where you happen to look at the clock and it says 11:11. And I'm not sure this is a clear explanation. I'm going to turn it over to our sources through Terry and see if they can explain it or elucidate on what I just said. Thank you.
Thank you. When one sees one, then 1111, one is a essential core of something. If you have a tree, there would be one tree there, a manifestation of one thing, of something coming into the manifest world. So then if you had one and you had a second one, you would have the ability there of that one manifest thing to see or be aware of a second manifest thing, one and one. And they could reflect upon each other, and they could reinforce the idea of a manifestation being there. And then when you have a third and you have a fourth, you again increase the manifestation of the one core thing. It could be a tree, it could be a plant, it could be a being, it could be an animal. So one and one and one and one is a reinforcement of the network of the foundations of more than one thing, reinforcing each other. So on dates like 11-11, there, with all of the Earth tuning in to the 11-11, there can be a reinforcement of creativity and a reinforcement of life and a reinforcement of existence.
This would be connected with the science of numerology, yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Lance says he's hearing these mysterious booms, or he's been reading about them, not hearing them, boobs that are being heard all over the United States. And in fact, I think Terry and I had heard some. And sometimes when we ask a question like that, they won't answer it because it's not something that it would be good for us to know about and talk about. So I don't know if this fits into that. But is there anything that you can share on what is causing and what these boobs mean?
Thank you. There are various activities in some parts of the United States in the underground building of tunnels, and you sometimes in some areas could hear machinery that is reverberating toward the top of the earth. There are also booms that are coming about from various craft in the sky. For instance, along the coast of some parts of California, there are booms that are related to these ships that are coming out of the water or are moving along the areas of some of the coast. Knowing the meaning of a boom, that there has been some bringing together of air forcibly that then creates resonance that goes out as sound. These have direction. So one of the things when you hear it, you can see which direction it may be coming from. And to record the sound and keep a record of it and what parts of the country it is occurring in. Those are comments.
Thank you. Tabara in Ontario, Canada, had commented that I started talking about processing, what it is, and then the topic changed. So she wanted me to refine that a little bit, and I'll turn it over to our sources and let them refine it some more. But from my experience, we are an energy field in a body. And when we're moving around doing anything, we are moving our energy field. And every time we move somewhere, our energy field has to reground and reconnect to the higher realms, at least as high as we can go. And we're around other people's energy fields. And on this call, we do an invocation to have our energy fields connect. And there's a beautiful resonant energy that passes through us when we do that. But say, for example, Daphne in particular, but everybody, all of us, are feeling that energy field. And when the call's over, we're still feeling it. And that everyone is now releasing energy, and we became one with all that energy, so that releasing of energy and coming back into balance is going through our systems. And I say our. Each of you does this all the time in your own way. When you open up to energies, you have and the energies are the things. On some level, it has to pass through you and dissipate. Otherwise, get stuck. Processing is the term for how fast you can have that energy pass through you, as opposed to it getting stuck. Now, I believe that it gets stuck and you process more when someone else is demonstrating the same distortion you have, and you feel their distortion, and it then exacerbates yours. Now, there was one evening that was very striking, where this was a very powerful experience about this process. And I was giving a talk when I first came to Sedona a few years ago at a restaurant in a little meeting room. And in order to use the restaurant, everybody had to have dinner. So we did part one of the talk, and then we did part two. And in the meantime, everyone had dinner. And on part one, I experienced myself creating a oneness, experiencing a oneness with everyone present. And the energy was holding in that oneness. And then when we took a break to have dinner, and I had never done something like this before, I was still with the people, and I was moving from holding the oneness to being social, where we all talked to each other and everyone was saying something about themselves. And it was terrible. I got an immediate headache. I threw up. I finally had to go in the car and sit in the car and wait for everyone to finish eating so I could come back. I still had my headache, and I forced my way through it. It was like the oneness energy, the connection of oneness, totally split apart as everyone went into their own little space. And my energy split with it. So I lost it in that moment. And it was a very dramatic experience. Not so pleasant, but I understood how it works. And maybe I'll turn it over to our sources to give any further elucidation on this particular topic.
Thank you. Well, there are very salient energies within the third density Earth. The individual, depending upon where he lives, can take on the energies of the area. The individual can take on the energies of a certain category of individuals, the Occupy movements. And people can move into that particular energy, and the energy can begin to take them over. So processing would be where one leaves an area like that, where they have been imbued with the energies there, and can attempt then to clear those out of their space and move back into their own beautiful self sacred space. Some individuals do what is called blanketing. Blanketing is where they put their energies over the top of another individual to bring them into the desired energy that the first person wishes them to move into. Blanketing is something that needs to be processed and cleared. And one needs to learn to defend themselves so that they do not get taken over. Some individuals attempt to, energy-wise, to take energy from another individual and siphon off energy from them. And if a person finds meaning to them and they are losing their energy, they need to reestablish that energy and learn how to defend themselves against their energy being taken. Energy is a very interesting topic, and processing is where one, this is a large category here, where one clears other energies that are not their own and move into their own sacred space.
Thank you. Interestingly enough, I had another call on another question on 1111, which somebody sent before I asked that one, I think. There's a very good question that just came in from Joan. And now where did I put it here? So here it is. It has to do with the future. And there was a question that was answered early on. And I think my question, this is through Daphne, is life going to end in 2012? What's going to happen? And the answer said that it looked to them like things would be available for shift up to 2017. Now, this is all up for grabs. Whenever they make a particular date, it is never locked in stone, because the fact of our doing the work we're doing, if we caught on, it could change timelines in such a way that those dates, this is my understanding, they could come, but those dates could change. Like at another time, it looked like things are really tough, and I asked, you know, we have this potential movie project, and I asked them, I said, do we have time to make a movie? And they said, I don't know if this is still true, but they said the movie would create a time, which was a very profound answer. It means the vibration of what we're doing, if it turned into a movie, would change the timeline potentials. So whenever you pin something down on a certain date, there's a lot of other events that could happen that could change that. So that's one of the reasons it's not good to do a date, because we get attached to the date and perhaps start creating it as if it was going to happen that date. I mean, I said, is all life going to end on the planet? And they said they didn't think they saw that, but it depended on the choices of the people. And so Daphne had said 2017 quite some time ago, and then Carla referred to something 2020, and the question is, can you please clarify if our earthly journey will be over by 2017? Thank you.
Thank you. We do not see that your earthly journey will be over as a race of people on Earth by 2017, 2020, or even after. There may be difficult times. They have not totally been decided yet. There may at some point be further earth changes. We see that things are still in flux, and it was very profound about the movie. If the individuals of Earth wish things to go on into the joy of the future, they will create it as such.
Thank you. You know, I have this idea One of the things for myself around 2005, absolutely 2004, absolutely no one was paying attention to me. And except for the book that I had written about David Wilcock, very few people had any idea that I was going home and having conversations, except the guy, Barry Morrow, who wrote the movie, Rain Man, was, we were focusing on the idea of making a movie. And I realized that he couldn't get the movie done. He would only be available for the script. So I had to bring the pieces together, and I couldn't do it. I wasn't together enough to do it, even though I knew it was important. And then I said, I better make something happen, just in case that movie never happens. And that's how we ended up doing these conference calls and everything else connected to our work. But I know that if this work could spread like wildfire into the mass consciousness, it could change timelines. It could change a lot of things. And some of you have the ability to do that. And if you do, think about it, because there's an opportunity waiting to happen that is not happening yet that could be very impactful on this planet. I had the idea at one point, or actually I have to say this is a dream message. They said, get everyone to send out 10 emails a day and organize that, and it'll keep reaching more people. So if any of you like that idea, email me, and we'll set up an email campaign. Because the truth of the matter is, by the law of exponential growth, if everyone sent out 10 emails a day in a year, it'd be multi-millions of people hearing about us. Well, the key is what do you put on the email to make somebody reach back so they don't think you're a wacko? It's 7:57. It's time to stop our call tonight. Sorry, I'm a little tired. We will see you Sunday, and maybe we have time for a quick goodbye from our sources.
We impart a radiance, a vibrance into the Earth sphere to the vicinity of everyone that wishes to receive it, everyone that, whether they sense it or don't sense it, are open to it. And we hope that radiance will lend support to the growth and the sanctity and the self-awareness of each and every individual that partakes in it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here with us. And thank all of you.
Unmuted.
Hold this energy. And you're unmuted. We can hear you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Love to you all.